this one's hard and it's personal. And it's one of those things nobody wants to talk about. And I definitely don't like to talk about it, but it's personal. You know, like I suffered with the suicidal intention for months. With the vaccine reaction, it's not like it's fleeting. It's not like it's a moment in time where you've had a couple of bad days and then it's over, right? When I was in that situation, I hadn't slept for months. I had the raging tinnitus, the electrical sensations all over my body, which I still have to this day, every moment of every day. My brain fog was, you know, off the charts. I couldn't eat. You could see every single rib in my body. I'd lost so much weight because I just couldn't eat. I was one step away from having a feeding tube. They put me on marijuana. I mean, they did everything to try to get me to be able to keep weight on and to be able to consume food. I was not in a good place. Like, I remember waking up every single day, and it's still to this day, I wake up every single morning to this electrical surging through my body. That's what greets me every morning. And it was hard to cope with that. It was hard to learn to live with that, right? And so there was a time where I couldn't rest. There was no joy for even a minute in my day. And that went on for months to the point where it's like, what's the point, right? And so I wanted to be done. And I had a plan. And I, you know, wrote goodbye letters to my kids. I'll never forgive myself for that, for almost destroying their lives. But at the time, I couldn't think through it. I wasn't thinking straight. I wasn't thinking about them. But I hid it. I was ashamed, right? So I didn't tell people about it. And as I overcame that issue, right, as I overcame that and I learned to accept it, which was really, really hard, right, it's still something that I work on all the time, be like, you know, look, I have a choice every day when I wake up, right? I have a choice to accept my body sucks, right? And it hurts and it's, you know, all these weird things are going on. And I can accept that, though. It doesn't mean that I'm okay with it, but it means that I can accept it and go, yes, this is part of my life, but my kids need X, Y, Z. The injured need A, B, C, right? And if I'm trapped and if all I'm doing is being miserable and suffering inside my head, I'm not doing any of them any good, and also I'm not doing myself any good, because then there goes all my healing energy for myself, right? So it took a long time to be able to evolve from my life is wrecked, it sucks, to what it is now, which is I need to fight, I need to stick with it. Doesn't matter how bad this gets, I'm gonna do everything I can to make sure that that my life means something and that my kids, I'm there for my kids. But I hid that. I hid that whole process because I was so embarrassed and it's humiliating to think that you are brought to your knees to the point where you want nothing more than to just be dead, right? Nobody wants to admit that they were that vulnerable and that their life was that bad, right? Because it's seen as a weakness. But that's not what it is, you know? I had a friend, and this is when I realized that I couldn't hide it anymore. I had a really good friend who was injured. She was a COVID long hauler for a long time, and then she got vaccinated hoping that would fix the long haul, because that was the promise, right? The lie that it would fix long haul. And instead it made her dramatically worse. And we talked every day, and she ended up ending her life. And her husband called and told me that she was on life support. And I'll never forget that call, because I had just barely come out of that place in my own head. But the last words she's told me was, you know, you're so strong. And when she said that, I was kind of taken back and embarrassed, right? Because I knew where I just was in my head. I knew where I was just like, you know, almost about ready to check out. And so I didn't say anything to her. I just said, thank you. But in reality, what I should have told her is just how bad it was. I should have told her the journey that I had just been on myself. I should have told her just how hard it was. Because then maybe that would have given her the reason to hang on. Maybe that would have given her a little bit of, you know, the understanding that, look, I'm not strong. I'm just like you. I'm just like anyone else. I'm just doing my best. And yes, it sucks.
You know, I can't thank you for sharing that here. I can't help but think that, you know, in your case, you actually have a very supportive family. And despite that, it was so horrible. I just can hardly imagine what it would be like for people whose family members may not believe them because they've been told, safe and effective, no chance of this. It's just in your head.
And that's I mean, when it comes down to it, that's the only reason I'm alive, is because my husband believed me and validated me, and he stood by me every step of the way. Had I not had that support, I would have been done, no question. There's no question. My kids would not have a mom. You know, their lives would be ruined, the whole thing. We would not be sitting here today. The vast majority of the people that do complete suicide in the COVID vaccine injury world, they do not have supportive family. I want to think there's two of the, I think we're at 27, 28 now, could be upwards of 30. There's only two that I know of that were from families that were supportive and watching them. The rest were people that their family members had walked away. There was a woman who, medical professional, beautiful family, adult children. Her husband left her because of the burden, because she was trapped in her bed. You know, she wasn't getting better. And so he left her and he told the kids, the adult kids, he said, you guys are going to be stuck here caring for your mom until she dies. So you better get out. So the kids left. And so she went and found a way to do it that was sanctioned by the Canadian government. And so she went through with it and ended her life. And I know that people see that as just a number, but that's a real human being. That's someone that deserved better, and that's someone that deserved to have some dignity and some respect for, you know, she didn't have any choice into what happened to her. And so she should be just like a cancer patient. Cancer patient gets their diagnosis, they're sat down with their family members and their medical teams, right? And they say, okay, here's a plan. Family, this is how you can support this person, right? The opposite is happening here. You get a reaction and boom, you're done. And they probably are, you know, there's no help for you. And the help that you do get is going to be from random people you find on the internet, you know, that just happen to have the secrets from the NIH.